first things first, Sally, do you think our teachers are properly equipped with the training needed to help students with cognitive disabilities?
Well, there's obviously a wide range of teachers, and I think the first thing to say about this issue is that the vast range of people working with kids with disabilities are there with good intent and lots of goodwill. And there are people who are very highly skilled at their jobs, but there are also a lot of people working in schools who've been, who received their education a long time ago, and it's comparatively recent that teachers have received units in their education degrees that are specifically around working with children with disability. And as inclusion of kids with disability has become more common in schools, there are teachers working in schools who have had fairly limited amount of education about how to creatively and effectively include kids.
Yeah. Okay, I see. We talked about, when I was introducing you, mentioned the use of physical restraints. What are the consequences of teachers using physical restraint towards children with disabilities?
I think that's just one of many issues that actually face children, and it's been a particularly topical issue at the moment because advocacy groups have collected a whole series of particular incidents of times when kids with disabilities have been physically restrained, and they've reported this to the United Nations because they've been very concerned about failures of schools, a whole range of different schools, to act in a way that they have thought has been appropriate in response to their concerns about kids being restrained. The fact that they have taken this to the United Nations, which is sort of the ultimate complaint mechanism that families can take on board, indicates that there are some system failures really within the education system that are resulting in abuse and trauma for kids, and also show the difficulties that schools are facing in supporting kids who've got some very significant difficulties sometimes in and around school. Restraint is part of the problem, but there are it's kind of a tip of the iceberg problem, really, because some research that we've done around safety and harm for students with disability shows that there's a whole lot of needs and rights around harm that children and young people are facing where schools are struggling in lots of ways.
Well, are you able to go into a few of those, what those needs might be?
Well, in the research that we did, children and young people with disability and their families talked about harms that ranged from cruel insults and threats through to physical assaults and broken bones and sexual assault. And they talked about those in different kinds of ways. Students talked predominantly about the sort of drip, drip, drip of monotonous abuse that they faced from their peers often. But also incidents that happen from teachers and other educators and from transport staff as well. And what happened really was that this impacted on their confidence and their happiness and their well-being in schools. And families really talked about more critical incident kinds of injury and assault for their sons and daughters with disability, and talked about the distress and the discord that this kind of assault and abuse caused for their children and also for themselves, for the wider family. And they found it very hard to resolve those issues with the schools. Interestingly, teachers also and administrators in schools and other people like child protection workers and disability support workers talked about the impact of low expectations and discrimination and lack of access to the supports that students needed, and they were really worried about this as well. It wasn't like the support people in schools said that they didn't care about it. They're worried about it as well. And they saw that there were some really entrenched barriers that were preventing kids with disability getting really well supported.
Yeah, well, the low expectations was actually what I wanted to bring up with you next. Are you able to explain a little bit about how the idea of low expectations for children with disabilities does affect them, and what sort of change we want to see in how we're treating students with disabilities as far as expectations go?
Yeah, sure. Well, one example, I guess, of low expectations is in the way that abuse is responded to, certainly in the people who talk to us in our study. A lot of the harms that people talk to us about you could actually categorise as abuse or assault, but they were termed by the schools as bullying behaviours, certainly when they had been committed by peers. There was somebody in our study who had a bone broken by another student, and it was called bullying behaviour. And if that had happened outside of the school, it would not have been called bullying. So where people's harms and their concerns are minimised and they're downplayed and they're ignored, I guess that's the way that people's injuries and their abuses are deprioritised. And the converse of that, I guess, where it helps, and where it showed very clearly, people said to us that when individual issues were responded to effectively and promptly by schools, where people were listened to, where their concerns were taken seriously, and that's just really common sense, it made a really big difference to them. The other thing that really mattered to students was when people knew them and valued them. And that's not to do with disability. That's, you know, these are children first, obviously, that they're not people with disability first and foremost, they're children. And being known and valued by somebody in their school and being acknowledged and listened to really made a huge difference to people, because it gave them connections and gave them somewhere to turn to if things weren't going well, increased the likelihood that they were going to be believed and that action would be taken if something went wrong for them. Sadly, a lot of children and young people in our study didn't feel like they had somebody in their school that filled that role for them. So that's a really clear place where improvement can be made. In primary schools, you can see a lot more of that happening, because whole school leadership and whole school action that builds a zero-tolerance culture for abuse of any child, but particularly kids who are more likely to be subject to abuses, is incredibly important. And primary schools have got lots of programs in place that do a really good job of that. In high school, it gets a lot more difficult because of the nature of children and young people, but also because high schools are bigger, they operate differently, and there's just not as much traction for those sorts of programs around whole school cultures of supportive climates for kids who are at more risk of harm.
Mm. Well, quickly, Sally, before we go, we are running out of time, but just quickly before you go, could you just maybe talk us through what you think can and should be done to try and fix some of the issues that you've talked about?
Well, one of the issues that was clear was that we did a large review of policy and laws that were in place, and there are quite a lot of laws that already support action in this place, but very few people knew about them, very few people had access to them. So telling people what their rights are is really important. Giving people access to their rights is really important. Making sure that people know how they can make a complaint if they're not happy is really important. And making sure that people have the education that they need at all levels, so that students, families, people who provide support in schools, teachers, school leaders, all have the education and the support that they need in order to support all students, but particularly students who are at higher risk of harm. And we know there's a significant amount of evidence to show that students with disability are at higher risk of harm, among other groups. Then all of those things would make a difference to kids with disability.
Mm. Well, Sally, thanks very much for joining me this morning. Unfortunately, we didn't have longer. It seems like it's such a huge issue. We could have talked for a long time, but I appreciate you giving me some of the information that you have.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.